Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's Friday. It's frickin' Friday. Another frickin' week. Frickin' weekend's coming up, and I'm frickin' ecstatic when I consider the frickin' possibilities. That being said, it's also the 11th day of August, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 78 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 82 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And it's a little cooler, but, you know, it's smoky. It's just gagged ass on smoke. I mean, so sick of this smoke. I'm telling you, I don't like the smoke. I mean, you either have freezing ass or you're sucking smoke. And even in the freezing ass, you're sucking smoke because all the wood stoves are burning. Bad situation. Too many people from California here. That's the problem. Anyways, let's see what we have on the itinerary for this afternoon. Drama erupts at Bundy retrial as judge scolds defendant, orders him off the stand. We're going to talk about some procedural due process here as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, drama erupts at Bundy retrial as judge scolds defendant and orders him off the stand. This is from AZ Central. A Las Vegas courtroom erupted in drama Thursday when a federal judge ordered a defendant in the Bundy Ranch standoff trial to get off the stand, struck his testimony, dismissed jurors, and abruptly left the bench. Jurors looked stunned as Eric Parker returned to the defense table with his head hung and then buried his face in his hands, according to lawyers in the case. He put his head down on the counsel table and appeared to be crying. Defense lawyer Sean Perez said, "My observation of the jury was that they were looking at everybody in the courtroom and going, 'What just happened?' Perez, who represents Richard Loveland of Oklahoma, one of the four defendants being retried for their roles in the 2014 Bundy Ranch standoff, said everyone in the courtroom, from jurors to lawyers to observers, was stunned into momentary silence. Well, they just, I mean, the tyranny's just getting, it would be stunning to one of these voters, you know, to be sitting there and see this and maybe just think for a second, they could do that to me? I've never seen anything like it, he told the Arizona Republic in a phone interview Thursday. It would not surprise me if there is a call for a mistrial. Really? You think? Parker of Idaho was testifying in his own defense just before 3 p.m. when U.S. District Court Judge Gloria Navarro stopped him from talking and said she was going to strike his words from the record. She then told Parker to sit down, or to step down, sorry. Parker's lawyer, Jess Marchese, is what it looked like, Marchese of Las Vegas, said he is still trying to wrap his head around what happened, saying he's never experienced anything remotely similar. Well, man, that's because this is not a prosecution. There's a difference between a prosecution and a persecution. A big difference, big difference. I looked at some of those jurors, and they looked aghast, Marchese said Thursday. I looked at one woman juror, and she looked like she had just seen someone get their head cut off. Well, she did. Marchese said Parker was distraught and started crying when he sat down. What's the matter with these? Who are these men? Started crying. Okay. Parker was attempting to tell jurors what he saw during the standoff over a barrage of objections from prosecutors who said he was violating court orders not to talk about what happened in the run-up to the standoff. You know, I was talking to Lori about this earlier, and we were talking about the wrongs and the wrongs and the wrongs. There are no rights to this. Okay. Whatever the heck that was. At any rate, you know, if you're on trial for murder, I mean, there are certain elements, opportunity, motive, motive. Huh? What? We lost our internet. Okay.
It's back on. Get the call-in line back up.
This service is provided by freeconferencing.com.
There are 6 participants in this conference. This conference is being recorded. Please announce yourself.
All righty, we temporarily lost the call-in line. I mean, right when we start talking about the meat and potatoes, it's, I mean, just how outrageous this is. Just, you know, David was running some clips from the Southern Perverted Law Center yesterday. And they were talking, calling us outsiders. And, you know, they talked about, you know, our distorted or incorrect views. But what you'll notice about these charlatans, these international communists who have formed these communist organizations like Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, if they were really correct in their thinking, they would show up, they put some paperwork up on the screen and show you where this is the law and this thing you call the Bill of Rights, that isn't the law. But what they do, what they're doing is, you know, it's just a pure propaganda push to their own people because nobody else is buying into this shit. But seeing this thing happening in Las Vegas, like I said, what you're sitting here telling these people on trial is that you don't get to present a defense. You don't get to say why you were there. I mean, we do have that the Bill of Rights thing going still. The right of the people to be secure, or let's see, where do we get this? Procedural due process would be 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witness against him, and to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor and have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Now, I mean, if you're not allowed to present a goddamn defense, I think you're in violation of the due process clause in the 5th article by, you know, not allowing the 6th. The judge is not there, or nor the district, you know, that's the thing when you get into the admiralty and this administrative treason that has replaced our common law in this country. I mean, if you had two litigants in a common law trial, one doesn't get to, you know, to stand up and object to the testimony being put forth. I mean, you know, they started this shit when they started replacing our courts. But the bottom line is there is no evidence that cannot come into the trial. It is not to the prosecutor to object and say that is irrelevant. It is not up to the judges to say objection sustained. Nobody, that testimony doesn't get in here. That's not how it works. Otherwise, what the hell you got a jury there for? Why did the jury even listen to the testimony of the litigants unless, you know, it's just a formality? And the judge is actually running the show, and the judge is calling all of the shots, and, you know, actually it is a persecution instead of a prosecution. The bottom line is to tell a person you cannot stand up and say, why you did what you did. I mean, come on, people. You know, we were talking earlier about all this ramp up. I mean, it's North Korea, North Korea, North Korea, man. That's all you can hear on the mainstream idiot box. And they are ramping up. I mean, it is their final failsafe. When this whole thing is falling apart on him, I mean, Trump didn't, I mean, he didn't go over like he was supposed to. The people, because of the alternative media out here, the true alternative media out here, the people have woken up to the fact that nothing has changed. It would be it's the same now as it would have been if Hitler really would have got in there. You just got a different face that bought you a little time. But the draconian oppression that has been put upon our people for 100 years now is showing that it's not going to change. This monstrous international occupation of our highest seats of power, calling it a government, it is not. It is an occupation, and it's only going to grow and get worse, and it's going to get worse for the people. So, you know, don't be surprised. I mean, I know that Kim Ping Pong Ball has been used as a diversion for a whole long time now to try to divert people away. I mean, would there be anything more important than something like this happening in the land of the free, in the home of the slave, that the people ought to know that you cannot offer a defense in one of these admiralty courts, and that they are admiralty courts? Again, with those videos that David ran yesterday, you know, they're up there talking about, we're Southern Poverty Law, so we can tell you what the law is. No, you are a goddamn, you're a bunch of goddamn invaders. You're invaders, and I know why you're telling me, you know, don't confront them, because the people are ready to blast your asses out of here. You two-bit charlatan sons of bitches. But I mean, right here, here's the proof to the pudding. Do you people feel like you are going to get any justice any other way than at the barrel of your guns? Because if you're thinking it, you better sit down and you better read these articles. You better read what's going on. You better listen to the videos coming out of Las Vegas. Because this has been going on a long time. A long, long time, people. Since about 19, in the state I'm in, since about 1976 is when they removed the last of our common law courts here. And then they stepped in with their district attorneys in their administrative jurisdictions that cannot exist, that are not applicable to we the people. And, you know, that's the thing with that Southern Poverty Law thing. See, they won't throw up their documents to say, well, this is why we have power here, because they'd have to throw up the illegal 14th Amendment and tell you that, well, you actually, we do not work for you. We are your masters, because that's what that illegal piece of legislation said. They would have to say, we're operating under the 14th Amendment. Yes, this is absolutely a violation of your 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th Amendment rights, or what they call amendments, the right articles of our Bill of Rights, the procedures. It is absolutely, but we're doing it with this right here. This is where the government, and they'd have to tell you straight up, this is where we made you servants of our servants. We ceased being your servants, and you became the servants. We took all of your property, we seized it. And but see, they can't come out and say that. And they can come out and say, we're operating completely under our law, but it is not the law. The law for us is the Bill of Rights. It is the common law. And they know it. And they know that this shit is falling apart on them because, you know, at some point in the ballgame, people farther up the food chain start standing up and go, I'm not going to do that, like the Bundys. You know, they got $1 million in the bank. I mean, that's why they weren't involved in this 20, 30 years ago when people like me were doing it. When we were in there, when we were fighting a real fight, and I'll tell you what, we didn't ask for no lawyers. And there was nobody to donate to get us some expensive lawyers to try to get us out of it. We had to stand there in those goddamn courts and look them right in the eye and say, you are traitors. I accuse you of treason. I've done it. I accuse you of treason and cite and violation of your oath. Cite the statutes that they are breaking of their own statutes, and then cite the violations to my rights. Nobody there but me. No cameras, nobody to see it but a handful of people that came there with me. A small handful. And then to be taken out behind the courthouse and try to beat you to death, man. Just because you dared to stand up and speak. But now these people here, you know, they're finding out the hard way. in a big way, but it does. It puts it out there in the mainstream. It puts it out there in every, it's not mainstream because they're not going to show this in the mainstream news, but it puts it out there where a lot more people that are in their condition that think that, well, you know, what we need is just to enforce this little section of the Constitution. No, you are occupied by a international cabal that wants to put your ass in the ground because legally, by the papers, you're right, by your paperwork, it does belong to you, belongs to me, belongs to us. And that is the problem. The only way to get rid of that problem is to put a 40 caliber bullet in the back of our head and kick us in a ditch and throw some dirt over us. And say, well, this is America. This is just, never really belonged to anybody. Them Indians a whole long time ago, we've already made deals with them across the board. The United Nations. But here we are, you know, we're not even going to examine the motive. One of the things that you have to prove in a common law court, if you were going to accuse somebody of murder or any crime, is motive. You would have to prove why they did it. And you just don't get to come up there and say, they did it because of this or that. Because they get to come up and rebut that and say, no, I did it because of this or that. You think about a murder case. Or they wanted to charge you for murder. Some son of a bitch comes at you and says, I'm going to kill your ass. He's coming at you with a knife. You pull out your pistol and you blast him, man. You put him on the ground. He's down. He's dead. And they're going to try you for it. And they come up and they go, he shot him because he didn't like the way he parted his hair. No, that ain't why I shot him. Shut up. You don't get to say why you shot him. We're here to convict you. We're not here for a trial. This is the equivalent. Tell me it isn't. This is what you get when you let a military dictatorship take over your country. Because that military dictatorship is operating right here in this court. This ain't a courtroom. In this military tribunal is all in the hell it is. If you cannot stand up and say, this is why I did what I did, and tell the jury, see, that's what it's supposed to be all about. Because guilt or innocence absolutely does depend on the why, don't you think? They've removed the why and just, we want this person convicted. And there's not going to be no talk about, you know, the reason that they came there and the reason that they stood their ground and what might have you. Because that, well, it's prejudiced against the state's case against you. Because, well, it would show that they have no fucking case against you. How about that? And they have gone that far to say that, people. We're not going to allow the defense's testimony because it would be prejudicial to the prosecution of the state. Because it would prove the state's prosecution is illegal, unlawful, and wrong. And they would lose. And we're here for, evidently that judge is saying, I'm here to convict you for the state, not for any kind of a fair hearing. Marchese said Parker was distraught and started crying when he sat down. Crying, hell, man, I'll tell you what, it would be vengeance is all that would be going through my mind. Vengeance. This is why you don't let them capture you. What the hell did you go out there for? You didn't realize this is how this would go if you just went out there and played a game, pointed a gun, and said a few things, and just going to walk away from it? You sent the BLM packing, and you think they're just going to let that slide? You got a totalitarian dictatorship you're doing. I mean, oh, it should have went down, people. It should have went down. Parker was attempting to tell jurors what he saw during the standoff over a barrage of objections from prosecutors who said he was violating court orders. So there was a court order saying, you can't tell them why you were there. That's a fair trial thing, people? Violating your sixth article right to a defense? Absolutely, without question? And to the point that it shocked the jurors? Man, I think we might have us a war tonight, tomorrow, the next day. Because I'm telling you, this shit is falling apart on them. Defense lawyer said Navarro called them to the front of the courtroom and told them Parker could testify only about what he saw during specific moments of the standoff. You know, while I was standing there drinking a Coke, well, you can say that, right? And then you start, when this son of a bitch pointed a gun at me, you can't say that! That would be prejudicial to the attack on your rights. It'd be presidential in this persecution of you. Somebody might say, well, goddamn, they pointed a gun at me. I guess I would do the same thing, maybe. Think about what I'm telling you here. A judge, in our world, people, what we're guaranteed under our Bill of Rights, under the common law, a judge sits neutral. He is not for the prosecution. There is no, unless there's a civil crime and one person's prosecuting another, there is no district attorneys. It is litigant versus litigant. And he can side with neither litigant. He sits neutral. All he makes sure is that the process is followed. Everybody got to speak. That man got to tell why he did what he did. That would be his, one of his obligations. Everybody got to speak their piece, and the jury heard it. Jury, you heard everything you need to hear? Yep, okay, then we're done here. That's the only power a judge has in our world. And they are elected from among us. So if they try to abuse that power, we'd nix them. And we can also go and grab them right off the bench by their pencil little prick neck and pull them right down into the litigants corner, and we can take them on in front of another jury. This is what kept us free, or what's supposed to keep us free. The lack of it's why we're enslaved. Specific moments of this. I love that. As soon as Marchese resumed questioning, prosecutors intensified objections, and that's when the lawyers and Navarro halted the testimony and shut down the courtroom for the day. This ain't going good for the state. We got to stop. If it's going for good for the state, I mean, if the state's coming in and they're bringing their goddamn perjured witnesses in, which has been proved, their plants in, and the plants that were involved in violence against the American nationals there in Bunkerville, if that's all going well, then we can. If not, if it starts to go bad, we'll shut this son of a bitch. I'll pull this car over. Don't make me pull this car over. Your ass is going to prison for 40 years, 60 years. Lawyers said that Navarro removed Parker from the stand. She asked them if they were prepared to call additional witnesses. Then she ordered the parties to return to court Monday morning and told jurors they could leave. The judge left the courtroom before the jurors filed out. We were really trying to be careful not to violate the court order. I mean, goddamn, and this is, you see what I'm telling you here? This is not, these people are supposed to be out there to stand for the Constitution. That was their whole trip to get this into court so that we could show you, man, we read this. We found something. God, all we got to do is get it out there. And now what we're looking at here is it's just trying to save themselves from prison using the very system, jumping in, belly flopping head first, into the same system that they're supposed to be trying to stop and joining with that system. When we went, man, I did my time as a political prisoner, but I never joined with those son of a bitches. I never agreed to one thing they said. I never agreed to their court. I never agreed to their jurisdiction because it did not goddamn exist. And I stood my ground facing everything these son of a bitches here are facing, and I stood it. I didn't lay down and cry about it.
Hey, Henry.
Yes, sir.
You know, man, it's all a rigged game. You know, just like what I said last week, it doesn't make any sense to go to courts, to go to file paperwork, to do all this and to do all that. For what? It's all rigged against you. It's all rigged against I. I mean, it's rigged against all of us. It's just like what you said. The only justice we want to get now is it's fighting time, man.
Yep.
It's fighting time. Or they're going to ruin your life. They're going to throw you in a cell for the rest of your life. We already see it being done, and it's going to happen. So whenever you're going to stand up for something, you either get ready to fight or you get ready to die. That's just the bottom line to it.
Oh, hell yeah. You're exactly correct. The bottom line is, I mean, if you take a stand on something, you better realize this ain't I'm going to work my way out of this somehow. They aim to, you are going to bend a knee and you are going to kiss their feet, or they are going to kill you. And if that's the situation, why let them get you out the goddamn door? You better fight. If you're going to have any fight at all, you're going to do it right there, or else what in the hell are you doing it for? Because people, they jump into shit like this and they think, well, somewhere down, something's good, you know, somebody's going to do something right here. No, they're not. They're not there to do anything right. They're there to destroy you. To destroy any opposition to their takeover of this goddamn country.
That, you know what? That is true, because the bottom line is just like this: you wouldn't go into a cage fight with a wild lion, would you? I mean, for what? You won't get out of there alive, especially if you don't have any weapons.
Exactly.
So therefore, I mean, why would you even go inside their courtroom?
Well, the thing is, if you're going to, you know, you can go and you can bury your head in it. You can go find some place where you can hide in a cave for as long as you can. And if you see one, I'm coming, run away. But if you are going to, if you stand up and you say, I'm not going to take this shit from you, you better mean it to the point of kill and be killed. That's where we're at here. There's no goddamn law in this country. We've told you that.
Yep, that's true.
Man. We were really trying to be careful not to violate the order, not to have a goddamn defense. Across, excuse me, across from the aisle from the defense, federal prosecutors appeared as troubled by the developments as the defense, Perez said. I bet you would be. I mean, you do something like that in front of 12 people who really believe that they're in the court of law to make an honest decision. I get there sitting there going, what in the world? Where is this North Korea? Defense Perez said, acting Nevada U.S. Attorney Stephen Meyer, who is leading the prosecution, could not be reached for comment. A spokeswoman for his office said Thursday the U.S. attorney would not comment on the case. Parker Loveland and Stephen Stewart and O. Scott Drexler, both of Idaho, are accused of conspiracy, extortion, assault, and obstruction for helping rancher Clive and Bundy fend off a government roundup of his cattle in what became known as the Battle of Bunkerville. Oh, really? Navarro's rulings, and what hell of a battle, boy. I see. I want to meet the vets of that. I want to meet the wounded vets of that battle. Navarro's rulings have severely limited defense arguments to avoid what she has described as a jury nullification. So what she's saying is you can't tell them that they were violating the goddamn law when they came out there. They were beating on people out there. That's why I came out there, and they're just trying to use this color of law to persecute me for taking a stand for the law. You can't have that. They might nullify it. And we're going to put you, I mean, just tell them, we're going to put you in prison. I mean, why are you going through the formality of playing like there's going to be a goddamn trial? I mean, at some point in the, and they ain't far off. When they're to this point, people, you mark my words, it ain't far off until they just start going, 68 years in jail. They've already got it put in place in the NDAA, sections 1021 and 1022, for military arrest of and indefinite detention of American nationals without due process of law, which you're pretty much right there right now, okay? They're just playing a little frickin' game here, lending a little lip service to the idea of justice, but it is not. This is persecution, and they are political prisoners, and they are being persecuted, and we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Down the road here from me, there's an old holler tree where you lay down a dollar or two. Go on around the bend, come back again, there's a jug full of that good old Mountain Dew.
Oh, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, and them that refuse it are few. I'll hush up my mug if you fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original E-Juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
seem dumber, and they either wear an R or a D. I gave up on cable, cause you know there ain't nothing to see. Real people with cameras have become the only truth on TV. It's a shame, cause who's to blame is the biggest criminality. Contracts were made to protect what the creator gave. Was fought, side-fought by those who buy and sell the slave. Lies told, face bold to the ones to be convinced they're brave. Once more, that few selects gets to fill the grave. Well, I learned history from Grandpa. There's one thing that he knew for sure. Bear that's sleeping. He said, don't come for my gun, and I want you to but the respect that it needs. Gun control with my pistol means I hit the target and the clip feeds. My rights from the creator are a no conditions guarantee. No need to push the limit and find out why that's America's creed. I made that promise to the Constitution and what it means. I pledge and oath to allow for what my grandkid will dream. If I don't have tomorrow, I know they'll find my Browning is clean. Don't come for my gun if you think that I hate all that I've seen. I learned history from Grandpa. There's one thing that he knew for sure. Piss off a grizzly bear that's sleeping. Dumb down our kids. There's MK Ultra, AIDS and SIDS, chemtrail clouds, GMO foods. You call that health care? Can't even say good. It's your rights that I fight for. Together we will not have to run. Your house, your spouse, protect against whatever they're from. Foreign and domestic are the two types of venomous scum. In short, I want to shoot you if you don't come for my gun. I learned history from Grandpa. There's one thing that he knew for sure. Don't piss off a grizzly bear that's sleeping. Said, don't come for my gun. I won't have to do it.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiliquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 1238 Pacific Time. And that was Thurman Ostley with Don't Come For My... No, Don't Come For Me. Leave Me Be. You know, we're going to hit the last paragraph on this because, I mean, right here, Navarro, that's the judge there in Nevada, also has restricted defendants from raising constitutional arguments or mounting any defense based on the First Amendment rights to free speech and the Second Amendment rights to bear arms. And I tell you what, the last trial I was in, when I finally wound it all up and I, you know, affirmed the fact that there is no law and there is no remedy through paper, I was told in that court, and it's on the court record, the Constitution is not recognized in this court, then you have no goddamn power. What constitutes a power in this country? Where does your authority come from? You know, that's one thing they taught you, you know, challenge authority. When you challenge authority and there is no a lawful authority over you, then what? Because that's where we're at. We're at the then what. Now, these people, we could have saved them all this heartache because we could have told them then what. When you reach this point, you're standing on Concord Bridge because it's force. It's pure force. There is no law, legitimacy, or anything else behind it. Just force. Rights to bear arms. In her rulings, Navarro said, those are not applicable arguments in this case. Really? The Constitution, the base of her, any authority that any judge would have in this country, the base of any authority that can exist in this country cannot be, well, we don't have that in this court because this is not a constitutional court. And that's what they're telling you. They're making it plain and clear. This is what we've been saying all along. Where you at? Jacking that round in. They come for you. They aim to put you in jail for 68 years. Hell, that's a death sentence. And I mean, goddamn, what kind of hell are you going to go through a dying? 1,000 cuts? You're going to die 1,000 times? You're going to die once and take as many of the son of a bitches with you as you can? See, I said yesterday on that Southern Poverty Law shit that David was playing. You know, they were talking about their law versus your law and the fact they called us outsiders. I can trace my lineage back to the beginning of this country and beyond. They are the outsiders. When we're for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and we're the outsiders, you better start thinking about what these son of a bitches are telling you. They're telling you, well, we have conquered you. We have conquered and removed your Bill of Rights. You're an outsider in this system, this totalitarian dictatorship. Washington State Supreme Court rules in favor of Seattle's gun tax. Now, here they are again. Take that Bill of Rights and put it up in front of your face and tear it into little shreds because that's what they've done. There is nothing left but you and the Bill of Rights that exist in your soul. The fact that I am not going to be your goddamn slave. I'll never take a knee to a tyrant. I will live by my own will so long as I'm bothering no other, and I will be left alone. Or I will light your ass up. And this is what they're telling, you know, this is the thing they were talking about. This is the reason that, you know, I wouldn't go to Bunkerville. I went over to Galice to look to see what was going on. I got the hell out of there when I seen what was going on. They talked about, you know, getting the locals, you know, the local sheriff and the local people in there to talk to you. I mean, just like, you know, pretty much what happened here. Come in. No, man, we're the local guys. You know, we're not them Fed fellers over there. We're the local guys, and we're not, you know, we believe in honesty, and we believe in rights and freedom and all that stuff with you. You just need to really come over here, and we've got the cuffs on you now, you son of a bitch. What did he say? Once you get him in custody, then you can give him the full force of the non-law. And this is exactly what's happening here in Las Vegas. Then just act like everything's okay. Get the local people to come in and just lull them out, you know, away from them guns, because what they don't want to face is them goddamn guns. And as to date, we ain't had nobody out there really except for in Bunkerville. Now, I got to tell you, there's some boys that showed up out there at Bunkerville, and they were serious about coming. They had what Humphrey Bogart said going down in the African Queen. I gave myself up for dead when I started down this river. Because that's what you're doing when you step out and you're really serious about this shit. And any more this goddamn standoffs and protests, horse shit, nah. If they're coming, I mean, it's like I said, ride a writ. write a writ and enforce the writ, enforce the law. Anybody, I mean, they can come, don't speak to them. Hand them the writ. We're here for this. This is what I'm here for. And when it comes to, you know, something like that, you know, there, like I said, this bullshit with these administrative admiralty trials and all this shit, it ain't going to be happening. But I mean, look at here. I mean, they got all this. Why were they there? Why were they there? They were doing all these terrible. No, why we know we were here. We were enforcing this writ. And they talked about people, you know, coming to enforce the law. But it's something else in the Southern Poverty people. Oh, it's something else. It's not the law. Yes, it is the goddamn law. And they, by God, know it. They are usurpers in your country. You take that writ and it says right on it. Exactly. I'm ordering you. Here's the law. Written out for your ignorant ass if you cannot understand it. It's written out in plain English, and it's written out in perfect fact. It'll read backwards and forwards. There's no debate as to what the son of a bitch says. I'm ordering you to obey that law, or I'm going to have to enforce it on you. When it finally comes to that, I mean, they want to hunt. They want anything in this goddamn world but that. They know how outnumbered they are. They know that the people in this country go with them like the goddamn tidal wave. So they, of course, you know, keep sleazing and slime and get some of the local sleaze, slime, son of a bitches out there and woo them out of their positions. And then you can kill one of them and persecute the rest of them with impunity, because that's when they'll find out that our law is superior. I said, why? That's like I told you guys when I faced down old David, what the hell, David Miller. You know, he wrote the law procedures I studied, and it took me a long ways in figuring out what the law was. But he still, I mean, what he didn't have it broke down. Absolutely. He didn't have the Bill of Rights as the procedures, which it turned out to be. But his procedures were correct. And I mean, they made logical sense. You look right at him, you couldn't argue with it. And when I broke up his seminar down there in Reno, I sat down at the table in front of him, and he goes, whoa, he was Mr. 200 IQ. He said, we're going to do this like conducting a trial so we can, you know, get to the facts of this. I'm fine. And she goes, well, you go ahead and start. So I had the federal rules of criminal procedure, the admiralty. I had that law. It's a big bastard. I still got it. And I had his law procedure. That's all I brought with me. I said, David, this is your procedures, right? And he said, yeah. I go, it's perfect. It's absolutely correct. I agree with it. And I laid it down on the table. I picked up that big bastard, that Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure. I said, this is the admiralty totalitarian law that is being enforced upon us people. And he always used that 2 + 2 has to equal 4 shit, right? And I said, this has guns behind it. I said, 2 + 2 = 3. And I slammed it down on his procedures. And I said, that's the fact. And by the time that we went to walk up out of his whole seminar, what stood up with us? They met us over at the door. They were trying to get us. They were going to buy us rooms and dinner and shit to sit down and explain the truth to them. Explain how it really worked. I had to go because my children were coming in from college. But one fella stopped me at the door and he goes, we ain't getting out of this without a fight, are we? I said, no, sir, we ain't. That's all that's left. And this, right? I mean, how far down how many times do we have to have the shit thrown up in our face before we can say, you know, goddamn, there is no other choice. There is no other avenue. You are going to be a goddamn slave. You're going to keep on submitting and submitting and submitting until you're over kneeling by that ditch, getting your bullet in your back of your head. Or you're going to stand up and fight these son of a bitches. And every day you delay, it's another day you're delaying the inevitable. And in the end of the inevitable, at least somebody's going to be left free if you stand up and fight. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, most people, they can't see that this new system of modern day slavery. You understand what I'm saying?
But it's so easy to prove, Dion. It's so easy to prove. You get this article. I mean, that one I just read. What the hell is it called here? This one here. I mean, take this. I mean, this lawyers remove Parker. Where the hell? Where is it? Where the headline here? We got it here. This one here. Drama erupts at Bundy retrial. Take that and read that to him, and then read the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th Amendment to them, or article in the Bill of Rights, and say, which one is the law of this land? Are these people getting procedural due process, or are they being persecuted by a rogue, renegade judge that isn't even a judge that can judge them because it's not even in her jurisdiction? She's a federal judge. I mean, the federalists and anti-federalist papers, man, right there. I mean, the anti-federalists, they told us this day was coming. They told us that this was going to happen to us. And they told us why. They told us where the flaws were. And they put the remedy in place in the form of the Bill of Rights and said, you better enforce that. If you don't, these son of a bitches will do this to you. On the other hand, the son of a bitch is doing it, sitting there, you don't need no Bill of Rights. It's clear to see in that Constitution, we can never get no power over you. And that's what that Southern Poverty Law guy, yesterday was saying, acting like the federal government doesn't have authority over them. That's just one of the things, pretending the federal government doesn't have authority over them. Read the anti-federalist papers and the federalist papers, and even in the federalist papers, we could never get authority over the people. It's plain and clear in this document that we're separate from the people. They get to go govern themselves under their common law. We could never interfere in their lives. It's just a 10-mile square. We need a few bases to protect the country. It's for everybody's benefit. We would never interfere in the people's business or their lives or try to tax them or anything else. We can tax industry. We can tax, put tariffs on shit coming in and out to finance our asses, but we would never, ever, go read it. It says it. That's what they were saying back then. No, we can, this was their argument for the Constitution. Is it? It contains no power that can ever harm you. What are you worried? Don't worry about it. But the anti-federalists, they said, bullshit. I can read. And they said, this is open subject matter here. You got a commerce clause and a general welfare clause here that you could claim anything under. And they said what they would go after, too. They said the excise taxes and coming into your private life and the jurisdictions, with the elite jurisdictions and the admiralty, they called it all. And now we're sitting here looking at it, just like they said it would be. And why did it happen? Because the people were lured into, I talk about it all the time after World War I, World War II, and then it was just, they let the people have some big scraps off the table. Big enough scraps until they just got, relaxed and kicking back. Oh, it's so much funner to go out and go boating and fishing and going to trips on Hawaii than have to look and understand really how this government works that I'm supposed to keep under goddamn control. And, during the 70s, I talked about it, with the plastic money come in, the outrage of the Federal Reserve and then throw on top of it plastic goddamn money, debt on debt. And they put bumper stickers on their goddamn cars saying, I'm spending my children's inheritance. They dumbed us down. And all they had to do was throw some bigger scraps on the table and people would just rather sit on their ass and do nothing and just ignore. Oh yeah, Joe Blow over there, boy, they just really raked him over the coals. But then it became two or three people, then four or five people, then 10 or 20 people. And I've known this all along. I've known that this day would come when it started to going after the people that were sitting on the jury, sitting up there just, they didn't know shit about or Shinola. They didn't know nothing. And you're sitting there trying to invoke the Bill of Rights, your rights under the Bill of Rights and your common law rights, and trying to explain without even being able to go behind the bar, because I'm not going to join with the son of a bitches. But the ignorance of the people, just like the Bundys. But then it comes around to them and they don't realize this. We've already been fighting this for 20 freaking years. We already understand that there is no law. We already understand that it's to the point with us anyway, but see, they didn't realize that. They go, I'm a port, I got money in the bank, I'm a rancher and shit, they could never do, not in America, they could never do this to a rancher. Now they might do it to some of them lowlifes over there, those working poor. I can see them running, I went on a couple of juries and put their asses in jail for them because they was anti-government. That's what's their big claim, to put us in jail. Is that we were anti-government. And people like this sat there and, yeah, I can see that. Judge, yeah, I winked at him. He winked back. And they put us in jail. Now they're sitting there and they're going, geez, no, not us, not us. We're the good Americans. We're the law-abiding Americans. It's just you've got a little confused about what the law is, we think. Because you coming in, you're trying to take every goddamn thing we got and make us one of them poor people over there. And you know what? When you started coming after our millions that we made through an industry, we got out the Constitution. We got something wrong here, people. I know something's wrong. You know something about Avin? Yes, Avin, son, I want you to read that, said old Cliven. You need to find out what the hell's going on here. They can't do this to us. So old Cliven, he got out the goddamn Constitution, got him copied up and started reading it. Hey, Dad, I found it right here. Say they can't own federal land. Look here, Dad. Damn, we got them. Boy, you did, didn't you? You didn't know shit from Shinola, did you? And now, the rest, You know, it goes on down the tube, but it, like I said, at least. Now you guys talk about no socialism in this country. Now this social level of this socialist society is having to face the goddamn reaper. See, they start at the bottom. They just take people incrementally, you know, from the bottom where they're least able to defend themselves. But they do come up that ladder, and they do intend to take everybody out in the end. Read the Georgia Guidestones. And finally it reaches up to you. And rather than listening to the people who were smarter than you for every goddamn sure, rather than listen, I mean, back in them days, you try to talk to somebody like Cliven Bundy or his son Avin Bundy, and they'd talk to you. You're lower class people. Hey, buddy, they're screwing us. You got to step up here. No, man, I'll put your ass in jail because I want that judge to love me. I'm getting my checks from the BLM, and they by God were. They got big checks every year from the BLM until it turned on them. They loved the BLM. Watch that that video with the old lady Hammond. Watch when she talks about it. The BLM was just a wonderful son of a bitch in the beginning. I remember it because I watched it happen. They got big old goddamn checks from the BLM. They got to take control. They got to take the land from me. See, it was real good. When they were taking the land from me and taking it for themselves and fencing me out so that they could make their ranches 1,000-fold by taking a whole goddamn mountain that belonged to the people and just, you know, putting themselves on different angles across it so you couldn't get access to it. It was just goddamn wonderful then. They had keys to the gate given to them by the BLM. It was theirs. They took it from me through the BLM. And then the communists, man, the communists took over the BLM. Their baby. It wasn't working for them no more. And then it turned on them. And now, oh my God, the outrage of the whole situation. You people should send us tens of thousands of dollars. I'm not more than that shit. Hundreds of thousands of dollars while sites like, From the Trenches struggle to stay up telling the truth because they're lower class and, well, we're these special people. These special people who participated in it right up until it bit us on the ass. Who helped build it right up until it bit us on the ass. They're political prisoners. They are being persecuted. They never did a goddamn thing. But we didn't either. When I went to jail, I didn't go because I was arrested for anything. I wasn't even trying to protect something that belonged to me. I was out attacking their system because I saw it was wrong. I was there for other people. I didn't go there because I was summoned. I went there on my own initiative and put my neck on the line, took my beatings, took my time in jail, and I sure as hell didn't lay my head down and cry at any moment. I stood my ground. But now this is different because these are these special people. We got to think differently about this whole thing. I am pissed at them for not standing up and saying, you know what, fuck you. You do not run over my rights. I do not submit to your goddamn admiralty jurisdiction. I'm not in the military. You know, at the end of my last trial, they tried to give me a JAG lawyer because they admitted it was a goddamn, they had to admit it was a military tribunal because I kept holding them on jurisdiction. Well, then we'll give you a JAG lawyer so that you can be represented in our goddamn military court. They did it. And that happened a whole long time ago before Bundy even knew that there was a problem. But then again, you know, they turned around and these guys here, you know, instead of standing there, I mean, if you were serious about it, what were you thinking? You were going to go do and put some tension on it and now because it's happening to you and then it'll quit. They'll at least stop bothering you and keep shitting on just the guy below you. And then you don't have the balls to stand up. I mean, you were going to fight somebody to the death and you're laying there crying. Are you serious? Because I just don't see it. I think you thought that you were immune because of who you were. Because you'd always been immune to the laws, not the laws, but the goddamn tyranny that was being inflicted on everybody, people in the lower classes around you. You watching it happen. You were watching me being told I couldn't go in the goddamn woods, and it was all right with you because they were giving you keys to the gate. And you got to use the land exclusively for yourself because you created the BLM. And now after you find out that, and not turn around and apologize to people like me and say, I'm going to make a stand. I'm going to make an amends for what I did. I'm not going to lay down and cry. I'm going to stand up in front of that judge and tell him that they have no authority over me, that they are a rogue government, that they cannot do the things they're doing. They're in violation of my Bill of Rights. They're in violation of my every right. That ain't what they're doing. They're trying to find a way within the dirty system that they're supposedly be against. They found out, well, I can't destroy it. I better get into a part of it and join with it somewhere so I can get out of this trouble I'm in. I'm in trouble. I might go to jail. And then they get in jail and up one of these whacking up prisons and, you know, they get beat up a little bit. Hey man, you know what? We've been getting beat on for 100 fucking years. How do you like it? Where were you when we told you? We told you, I mean, try to tell you what was going on. Oh, they don't do that to you poor people, not to us. Well, now they're doing it to you. Anyways, guys, we're at the top of the hour. We will be back on Monday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast, The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, stay tuned for It's Time to Break Free with David Matthew Rock. And it's Oy Vey Friday for David, and I love that program, and I'll be listening, and I suggest you do too. And that is The Word from the Trenches.